The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you on Sunday, August 7th, 2022. One of my guests today might earn a spot in next Sunday's live taping at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. Let's get to it. My guests today are Mark Ellis, Jeremiah Watkins, and Andy Wood.
Oh man, I'm definitely winning the alphabet order today.
Yeah, you're killing it with these couple of W's hanging around.
Pain of my existence.
Let's meet everybody. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk to you in a second, Andy. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically. Returning from last week's win, it's Mark Ellis.
Been a good run I'm on, Doug. Thanks to you and your quality show. Thanks for all the support, for all the listeners. They've been wonderful. And this is really where the pressure cooker heats up, not just because there's a big live taping next week, but also I'm a huge college basketball fan. And so I've won three in a row. So if I win today, then I would technically be going to the Final Four if I was in March Madness.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and also, you know, on Jeopardy, you can get to the tournament after a mere four wins.
Sometimes it can. Sometimes
it can happen. We should also say that your schmodown is winding down.
That's what we really should have called the season, is the wind down. It is. It's going to be a tear-filled emotional goodbye come October when the final Movie Trivia Schmodown Spectacular airs. But it's been a great run. A lot of fans. I hope even the mighty Doug Benson maybe has picked up a few new fans thanks to the Movie Trivia Schmodown. And your support and participation in it has been always welcome. And it wouldn't have been the same without you, bud.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And good luck today.
Thank you. As we're taping this, I'm actually dog sitting Christian Harlow's pug, who's 1 year old and is trying to currently break out of the house. So this is going to be a fun episode.
Well, I mean, that sounds great for you, but the rest of us, not so much.
It's not great for me, I promise.
It's not cute watching that dog try to get escape.
It's adorable for the first 3 days. And then you're like, dude, if you really want out, I'll just take you in the woods and set you free. Like, you're not mine. So
yeah,
live amongst your people.
I think that the dogs that are always trying to get away, stop doing that. Like you stay with your master. You know, you get fed, you know, show some respect.
It's like the most like visceral, scariest, like awful reality show of all time. Is you just take a bunch of different breeds of dogs, set them in the wild, and see who survives longest. Because pugs are not going to be high on that list.
Yeah. No, going back home and living comfortably is going to be an option for some of the dogs, and they'll take it. He's a regular performer and has a show regularly at the Comedy Store in L.A. that I'm going to be a guest on this Tuesday. It's Jeremiah Watkins.
Hello. What's up, everybody? How you doing?
Hey, Comedy on the Spot is the name of your show.
Yeah, Stand Up on the Spot. It's a series that we have been doing. I've been doing it for about 12 years, and we recently started filming as a series and putting it on YouTube. And yeah, it's available at youtube.com/Jeremiah Watkins. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to having you back on the show on Tuesday, dude.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's, you know, it's all improvised, so it's exciting to not have to worry about what you're going to say, but also be worried about what you're going to say.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the stakes and expectations are kind of different, but it's always a lot of fun. And, yeah. And Mark, I was booked on Schmodown in November. Is that a no go now? Is that,
I mean, you can show up and here's the other thing that I'll do, because as listeners of this show know all too recently, I'm always prepared with movie trivia questions in my phone, Jeremiah. So if you know what, I will be in the crowd at Stand Up on the Spot, and I'll just raise my hand like I have a topic, and then I'm just peppering you with questions.
Okay, great. Great. Looking forward to that.
And it's the return of one of my favorite Jeopardy champions. Probably top two. My top two favorites. I mean, and I only can call somebody a favorite if I actually know them. It's Andy Wood, everybody.
Hey, hey. Thanks for having me back. Thanks for the kind words.
I did a weird thing the other day and just dug into your Twitter account, like what people said to you when you were on Jeopardy. And one woman was disappointed when your run ended because she thought you were a DILF.
Yeah, I got a lot of DILF. Yeah.
DILF. A lot of DILF action. And this is the one that struck me as interesting, considering I've never noticed it, but I don't disagree. Someone says that you look like a young Harvey Keitel.
I knew you were going to find that one. I knew you were going to say that. I think it's mostly because that one day I wore like a suit jacket, but over a dark shirt, which I don't know fashion. I don't have a lot of clothes, and I've been living in the desert in shorts and t-shirts for all of COVID. So I had to just hastily, I had to run to Nordstrom Rack and just get like a bunch of clothes in case I needed changes, which I was doubting would happen because that would mean you won. And there were no dressing rooms. There were no changing rooms during COVID. So I couldn't try anything out. I just had an armful of clothes in a heap. And then as I'd win to go back to the changing area and try to put an outfit together. And I ended up with a Harvey Keitel look one of the days.
I don't think they said the clothes look like Harvey Keitel.
If you look at the picture they're referencing, no, that's what it was. It really is. Because when you have a dark shirt under and a lighter tie under a sport coat, you look like you're trying to be a hitman. So I want to believe it's that. But
well, I think it's, you know, whether they think you're a hitman or actual Harvey, I don't think it's an insult. I would bring it up if they were comparing you to somebody ugly.
It's just interesting. I never heard that in my life. So
yeah. 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 No, but I, you know, and I saw the tweet and I saw the picture they were referring to, and I was like, I can kind of see it.
I can too.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that though? Was Harvey Keitel ever young? I feel like he was born 60.
Yeah, he and Morgan Freeman, yeah.
Yeah, like in another 10 years, Andy's gonna look like Harvey Keitel in Thelma and Louise.
Right. That's right? Vintage Keitel.
Yeah. Because you know what I mean? Because that's when he was older, but still not like an old guy. I haven't seen him in anything recently, but I don't, you know, I assume he still projects as pretty, youthful. Like, I haven't seen him play a character that I'm like, oh, now he's playing old guys.
We have some bad news, I think, Doug. I believe Harvey Keitel passed away. Is that not true?
What?
No. I don't think he did. I love this. We have some bad news, like you're sitting in a newsroom right now. Oh, listen, this just in.
I was operating on him, and now I'm in the waiting room.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's alive, but, you know, sometimes they slip by you. I could have missed it when Harvey
passed. He's 83. I know we're not going to use the internet when we start playing games, but I just had to know.
Somebody had to do it. Somebody had to look.
He's living and he's 83.
Yeah, but maybe he's retired. Maybe he's pulled a Gene Hackman or some shit. Like, what was the last thing Harvey Keitel was in?
Let us consult the Internet Movie Database.
Oh, now it's just all cheating all the time.
Well, people have to know we could and choose not
but
to.
But anybody could have guessed. Having a conversation. I was just saying, what was the last movie you think you saw Harvey Keitel in? Everyone I'm flashing on has got to be 10, 20 years old. Like I think of like From Dusk Till Dawn as his last movie.
Right.
I think he was in The Irishman. Didn't he pop in there?
Oh, he must have, right?
Yeah, that's why I thought he was dead. Somebody in The Irishman is dead.
Well, anyway, thank you all of you for being here. And before we play our games today, I've been doing a segment on the show where I ask each of my guests to recommend a movie. It's called Recommendation Nation. But this week, much like last week, I've decided to make it more specific. And I'd like each of my guests to rec a movie that features a person who's celebrating their birthday today, an August 7th baby named Charlize Theron.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So Mark, Jeremiah, and Andy, I'd like each of you to recommend one Charlize Theron movie. I wrote one down that I'll recommend if it doesn't come up from any of the three of you, but let's start with you, Mark.
Well, there's some low-hanging fruit that I can obviously take that has a Chrome addition to it, but I'm gonna recommend a different movie, and it's fun to watch. For the performances get a little over the top, but she's a strong anchor for the tomfoolery that ensues when Keanu Reeves slowly finds out that his boss might be actual Satan, played by Al Pacino. And that's a pretty good movie, right?
It's I love that movie. Devil's Advocate, baby.
It was a good description, Mark, because it didn't really, until you said Keanu, it didn't really start to come in. And then she, of course, was in another film with Keanu. So it's like, okay, we need a little bit more narrowing here. And then you went Pacino, and we knew what was going on. And I haven't seen that movie since its release, but I remember finding it, like you say, campy but fun.
Yeah, it's a good double feature along with The Devil Wears Prada. Just really horrible bosses who may in fact be Satan.
Okay. What about Angel Heart?
If you want to stay for midnight, we can.
Is there an employment situation in Angel Heart, or is it just the devil just messing with people here and there?
I don't know that there's necessarily like a steady paycheck involved in that film, so it might not make it.
I haven't seen that movie in a second, but I just remember it drips. You know what I mean? Like everything looks wet.
Yeah.
I like a good sweaty movie.
Yeah, it's really fucking sweaty. All right, Jeremiah, do you have any favorite Charlize movies?
It's gonna be a Will Smith Charlize Theron double feature. It's gonna be Hancock and the Legend of Bagger Vance for May.
Oh my god. Well, if you had to pick one between those two, I know this is a real Sophie's choice.
I enjoyed overall The Legend of Bagger Vance more than Hancock.
Holy shit. All right. I'm crossing out Hancock. I'm writing The Legend of BV,
mm-hmm.
Bagger Vance. Yeah. My favorite part of the movie is the end title sequence when the Will Smith song comes on. He sings Getting Baggy with it. But the whole movie is, you know, probably everybody's top five golf movies, because who can even name five golf movies?
I think it'd be, yeah, probably pretty difficult. I mean, Caddyshack obviously is one of the first ones that comes to mind.
Tin Cup.
Then, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. It's a short list.
Let's not mention Caddyshack too.
No. Jackie Mason definitely died. All right. Andy.
I'm going to go with an entry in one of my favorite genres, which was 90s movies in the vein of Pulp Fiction. 2 Days in the Valley.
Oh, yes. Very early Charlize.
Yeah. I think that was the first time
I think I was conscious of, like, oh, this is an actress that, you know, probably going to see again.
Yeah, same. And it was a pretty, I haven't seen it, I think, since the 90s, but I think it was a pretty fun, you know, in the same way that, like, Go was, there were tons of good Pulp Fiction-y movies, even if they weren't as good. And I think that was pretty good.
I think that probably the best thing about 2 Days in the Valley is it Spader in that one?
Yeah.
So he's always so good. Well, I went to very early on in her career with the one that I wrote down that nobody picked. And I appreciate everybody not picking Fury Road, Mad Max Fury Road, because, you know, she's amazing in it. It's a very good movie. But, you know, these other movies are more interesting, I think. Interesting choices. Mm-hmm. And I went with, she doesn't have a massive role in it, but it's I like the movie very much, and she makes a strong impression in it. That Thing You Do.
Nicely done.
Yeah. I love That Thing You Do.
There's something about it. Like, there's something about hearing the same song over and over again. Yeah, it's like, it's the movie, like, gives you, you love that song because it's like Stockholm Syndrome. You're like trapped with it for an entire movie. I mean, I don't think they even play part of another song. Like, they just, all you do is hear them play that song over and over again. I mean, I guess they have something else they play before they write that song.
That's one of the few movie theme songs that I think I know most of the words to, just because I ended up liking that song so much.
It is a good song.
Yeah.
It's just a really, they beat it song into the ground doesn't mean it isn't good. Yeah.
No, and that's also the strange part of the fun of it. It just shows how catchy it is, and how, you know, just a band out of nowhere can just come up with this one thing that's so catchy, especially at that time, because the kids were all looking to dance because dancing was such a rebellious act. But anyway, terrific movie. Little side note. Fun thing to think about while you're watching it. You know, they cut the subplot out of the movie, but Tom Hanks's character is gay.
Huh. Really?
Yeah, they cut it out. There's like, I think there's some deleted scenes with that kind of, you know, give more indication of that. But it's interesting to watch the rest of the movie with that in mind, because he clearly isn't like acting like, he's not acting effeminate, but it's interesting to watch it like that actor, as an actor and director of the movie, he did make that choice.
Are you confusing That Thing You Do with Philadelphia, Doug?
Oh, that's right. In Philadelphia, he plays a gay guy. Thank you.
Similar tone.
Thank you for correcting me. All right. That's it for Recommendation Nation. We'll be right back with some games after this.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back. And the first game we're going to play today is called Which Films Was Tom Hanks Gay In? A League of Their Own? Big, I just start listening. Okay, so
Earl Scakel has this great joke that he says that he watches Philadelphia in reverse, and it's a really uplifting movie.
yes, that is good. Actually, we're gonna play a game today that has little or nothing to do, probably nothing to do with Tom Hanks. It's a new game I just came up with. It's called Throw Mama from the Bullet Train. In this game, you need to know the difference between the Danny DeVito, Billy Crystal comedy, Throw Mama from the Train, and the current in theaters now, Brad Pitt actioner, Bullet Train. So we'll start with Mark Ellis. I'll say a fact, a little factoid, and then you tell me if that applies to Throw Mama from the Train, Bullet Train, or both.
I love this game. I watched Throw Mama from the Train entirely too much when I was a kid. I probably haven't seen it in 30 years, but man, when I was a little kid, for some reason, that movie really tickled me.
It's very funny. It's strangely slight when you watch it now. Like, it's like, wow, they really stretched that out to 90 minutes because it's not that much that happens in it. But it's got some of the biggest laughs of... You know, one of the best trailers of all time, just using a scene where Danny DeVito hits Billy Crystal with a pan for no reason.
Yes. Good. Charlize Theron, also a good pan hitter in Atomic Blonde.
I mean, I would be happy to explore motion picture pan hitting in future episodes. Because also, those are two examples where the person didn't end up getting amnesia. Usually, if you get hit with a pan in a movie, you probably are going to get amnesia or think you're somebody else for a large portion of the film. But today we're just talking about Throw Mom. So the answers are either Mama, Bullet, or both. And so here's what happens when Mark guesses. If he's wrong, Jeremiah, then it narrows it down to two options for you. And if you're wrong, Andy Wood's going to get the gimme point. And whenever somebody gets one right, then the next round, the next person in line will go first.
All right,
Mark, you ready?
All aboard.
Mama, Bullet, or both, the director appears on camera.
That's a good one. I think trying to remember who directed Throw Mama from the Train. I think it's Rob Reiner, but I could be mistaken. I am going to say, and you said both is an option, right?
Yeah, it's either,
yeah,
you know, the director of Throw Mama's in the movie, or the director from Bullet Train's in the movie, or both.
Because David Leitch is like a stunt kind of coordinator, so maybe he did pop on camera at some point to help out with one of the fights. So I'll go both.
That is correct.
Wow.
Impressive. You know the director's name of Bullet Train. I'm going to lose this game.
No, he's a good director to know because he did Deadpool 2 and John Wick. And Mark said, he's a former stunt guy who, you know, like Hal Needham back in the day, has moved on to actually directing these big action movies. And I haven't seen Bullet Train yet, but I'm looking forward to it because he is good with action stuff. Jeremiah.
Yes.
This one's for you, buddy.
All right.
Mama, Bullet, or both has over 30 actors listed in the credits. More than 30 speaking roles are listed in the credits of Mama, Bullet, or both.
I'm going to go with Bullet just based off of the posters that have been going around.
right? A lot of bodies on the poster.
A lot of bodies on the poster.
That is incorrect.
Should have gone with my
Sorry, Andy. Two remaining choices.
Jeremiah's logic was my exact logic.
Oof.
So now I'm going to keep that logic and turn it into both.
You're going both.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. But I still, I thought Throw correct. Mama was a smallish movie. I didn't picture that as being a cast of dozens.
Right. Well, here's where the question was tricky, is that there's 34 listed actors in the credits for Throw Mama from the Train and 80 listed for Bullet Train.
Wow.
Yeah. So I knew that if I, you know, worded it any other way, then obviously the Throw Mama has a lot smaller cast.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're back to Mark. If you get this room right, you win this game. If you don't, then Jeremiah has a chance to put some of his scent on the scene.
That's a way to describe it.
That's a way to put
that's
it.
That's what people always describe when I'm booked on shows around town. Right? Jeremiah's scent is strong on this lineup.
Yeah, you came and peed all over it.
Yeah, Jeremiah is one of the best comics out there. The only problem is after you see him, you have to bathe in tomato juice.
All right, Mark. Bullet Mama or both has this line in it. I'm going to ruin your life the way you ruined mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hear some pretty fun things about Bullet Train. I've not seen the picture, but I think that feels, I'm almost certain that is in one of these movies. And so I'm just going to guess that movie. And I'm going to say that is Throw Mama from the Train.
That's your answer, is Throw Mama from the Train. I'm going to ruin your life the way you ruined mine. Incorrect. Oof. Jeremiah, you can get on the board here.
Oof.
Is that line in both of those movies or just in Bullet Train?
This is my logic, and it has nothing to do with the movies. It's more about the logic of Doug Loves Movies. I am going to go with both because I think that you decided to compare these two movies, how crazy it is that there's both of these things in all of these movies. That's my answer, both.
I mean, I wish I could have found a line that's in both movies, but it's not in both movies.
Dang it.
Andy, tell him which movie it's in.
Oh, it sounds like it's a Throw Mama, a throwaway line.
Were you not paying attention to what Mark's doing?
Whoa!
Wait, what?
Hey, could I buzz back in?
Wait, I thought Mark said Bullet Train and then no, Jeremiah
he
did, said
he
both.
He started to say Bullet Train, but then he changed his answer at the end to Throw Mama.
And then Jeremiah said Bullet Train, right, and he got awarded the point.
Well, Jeremiah said both, and then now and
how did I miss
you had
that?
A chance. You had a chance.
Oh my
to
god!
Get the point, but you
I could have sworn he said Bullet Train.
He goes. Mark goes. Well, you know what to do here is say Bullet Train, but
I did not even say Bullet Train. I said it. I was thinking it might be both, but I was I think what I said is I'm fairly certain it's in one of these movies, so I'm going to guess that movie.
Yeah, but you said Bullet Train right before you said that. It was just this random Bullet Train was just thrown out there.
These are the head games that I'm playing with Andy and Jeremiah. I'm on another one.
Okay, yeah, I absolutely. Must have heard that and been like, he's already answered, and then I'm thinking,
absolutely.
Okay, well, there
but
goes my
normally
game.
I don't penalize somebody for not, like, normally you just get that point.
But I had to say it, yeah.
And, but you had to jump in. Yeah, you had to go and hurt yourself. So I think it's only fair that we go to the tiebreaker, and we'll let Mark is going to get to go first though, and then Andy if Mark doesn't get it, and this is a fun twist. If neither one of you gets it, I'm going to give Jeremiah the win.
Ooh, okay. Who's going to be the dark horse? Jeremiah is. Let's go.
All right, Mark, you ready?
It's clearly favoritism because Jeremiah said how much he listens to the show.
That's probably it.
I am ready to go, sir.
Mama or Bullet? Which one has a character in its credits called Passenger? Bullet Train, Mama Train, both trains.
Trying to think of the train that was actually in Throw Mama from the Train. Like, I assume there were passengers on there. Like, it wasn't just the three of them hanging out. And I would imagine that they didn't feel the need to name every character in Bullet Train a name. So I'm going back to the Watkins well, and I'm going to say both.
Wait. I put the wrong sound effect on. That was my apologies for anybody being misled.
Ooh, it looks like the Watkins well is dry again, brother.
So, Andy, you win this game now. What a turn of fate. You win this game if you can tell me, is it Bullet Train or Throw Mama that has a listing in the credits of someone who plays Passenger?
First of all, there is no winning for me after what has happened. But it seems like because of the smaller cast, I'm hoping it's Throw Mama. Let's see if that bites me in the ass again. Throw Mama from the Train, Passenger.
Jeremiah takes it.
Let's go.
What expert play on your part, Jeremiah, that led to this
long
victory.
Con. The long con, baby.
Yeah. Bullet Train is the only, only one of those two that lists somebody as passenger. And it's like one of the very last credits. The closest that the Throw Off of the Train has to that is that somebody's called a porter. So that's like a real, somebody slapped with a real train word, but not, but there are definitely passengers on both trains. So let's not get crazy. And let's celebrate Jeremiah's win.
Yeah.
What does he win? Nothing special, but I'll tell you about it after this break. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and Jeremiah took down the one and only time we played the game, Throw Mama from the Bullet Train. So congratulations to you, Jeremiah. Now, all that means is that you get to go first in our next and final game.
All right.
but this game is one of the better ones have the advantage of going first, because in this particular game, we play three rounds and then there's a tiebreaker. And if we get to the tiebreaker, then the person who came into this game, Jeremiah, in first, he will get to have a slight advantage at that point. You'll see if we get that far. The game is normally called Parental Guidance, but today I'm calling it Paw Rental Guidance Doggy Edition.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah. All of the answers in this game will be quote unquote dog movies.
Okay.
Whatever that means to you, or specifically what it meant to me when I chose the films. basically, Parental Guidance is a game where I read to you the warnings that are supplied by the people in the section on IMDb called Parental Guidance. Each movie has it. And each movie has some really silly things that people feel the children should be protected from. And also, people aren't great writers when they include their little tidbits. So I will read four different, you know, I'll take turns going from person to person. Jeremiah will get the first and most difficult clue. In the very first one will be something that it'll be tough, but he still gets to guess what movie he thinks it's in. Then I'll add a second piece of parental guidance, and Andy gets to take a shot at it. Third one, Mark. And then if we get to a fourth one, it'll go back to Jeremiah, and it'll be something that should just give it away. You should be able to secure the point if it makes it that far. And then the next person, Andy, gets to go first in the next round. Mark goes first in the third round. And then a tiebreaker is waiting. Jeremiah. I did acting like a dog gets you no extra points.
Okay, I just had to try, Doug. I don't know if I'm going to be good at this one either. We'll see.
All right, we'll see. But you've seen movies that have dogs in them, yes?
This could actually be a decent category for me. I've seen quite a few dog movies in my lifetime. It's a genre that my family was always encouraging for us to rent when I was a kid. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's popular with the whole family, these movies. So that's another interesting thing is, well, what is the parental guidance going to be on a movie about, you know, a dog or some dogs? So, Jeremiah, here's your first clue. Mm-hmm. A man punches another man after closing the door. What movie in the world of dog movies? So if you just guess a dog movie, you might nail it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with like a big movie. I don't remember if the main one of the actors in this, I think he was also in The Green Mile, the guy who played the clown, Air Bud's former owner. I forget his name, but I'm gonna go with Air Bud on this one.
You're going Air Bud, that a man punches another man after closing a door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't remember Air Bud well enough to know if that scenario could occur in it. But in this particular case, that's not the answer I'm looking for.
Okay.
We move on to Andy, who now gets a second clue. So hearing both of these clues, you might be able to put it together. Andy, for a brief moment, we see a man's groin on an electric fence.
Oh, I know this one now.
oh, a groin on an electric fence. So it's going to be slapsticky. And I'm not going to say throw Marley from the train. That is not going to be... that seems, I thought I knew what it was, but this seemed almost too slapsticky for it, but I'm going to go with Turner and Hooch.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at you before giving you the sound effect, but no, not Turner and Hooch. I wouldn't put it past Turner and Hooch to electrocute a man's groin on a fence.
I'm 99% sure I know this now, but putting that out there.
Okay.
I'm pressure, Mark.
96% sure.
Mark is at 96%. Well, this next clue may do it for you. Maybe all you need. It goes like this. The scar on Skinner's face could be a little bit spooky to really young kids. Kids like 3 and under.
Could you repeat the scar on, did you say Skinner's face?
Skinner. Okay. Skinner has a scar. It could be a little bit spooky.
Huh. All right. Well, I have a lot less of an idea now.
Oh, that hurt your idea.
Yeah, that 96% is way, way down. I mean, I hear like closing the door and a man punching another man and then like the electric fence. I was going away from Andy's slapstick and I was going more into like action movie mode. So I'm going to say, even though I don't know if there's a Skinner in it, I'm going to say John Wick.
Here you go, Jeremiah. I think you are, you think you already know it, but you also get the fourth clue. So there's no reason for you to guess yet unless you really, really want to impress everybody.
No, I'll take the clue just in case, because as soon as you had Skinner, I went, my percentage dropped a little bit, but I think that this character is still in the movie that I think it is.
Well, huh. It's this last clue is supposed to give it away. So here we go. Cruella smokes a cigarette in a long cigarette holder.
101 Dalmatians, and that was the 99% that I was thinking it was. As soon as you said the electric fence, I remember that scene.
You did it.
Wow.
Jeremiah's on the board, but Andy gets to go first on this next one. Your first clue is a roller coaster car runs into a young woman.
Dog movies with roller coasters.
Two of my favorite things, three of my favorite things, dogs, roller coasters, and movies.
I can't picture a roller coaster scene, but I'm going to say Beethoven.
Yeah, I might as well say Beethoven, right?
Sure.
Mark?
Beethoven second. No, I'm kidding. That's not my guess.
Yeah, those kind of jokes are going to get you a lot.
Yeah, I know. I know. As soon as I was saying it, I was like, Mark, don't. You saw what he did to Andy Wood last game.
Okay. A young man punches and elbows a man in the face and kicks him in the groin. The parental guidance section is very concerned with groins.
Yeah, really. I'm worried about the jewels. Let's go.
But they're too discreet to say dick and balls. groin.
I'm going to go back to, I liked Andy's guess with Turner and Hooch a lot. So I'm going to go Turner and Hooch.
Just keep the Turner and Hooch train rolling. It's not TNH. This season on Big Brother, there's a guy in the house named Turner, and I swear to God, there's another guy in the house. He got kicked out, but there was, for a brief time, two people in the house, one named Turner and the other was named Pooch.
Aw.
Yeah. Nobody in the house was making Turner and Pooch jokes. I wanted to kill them all.
That's why I don't watch reality TV.
They don't make the
comedy gods give you that kind of mana and you don't take advantage, I'm done.
Yeah. Okay. What are we at here? We're on the third clue.
Mm-hmm.
This one goes to Jeremiah. Wait, right?
Yeah.
A dog urinates on a young woman.
Oh, man. This could be, I feel like this could be so many dog movies.
Yeah. And also, how young is this woman?
I know, right?
Like, why are they even using those words? Young woman, what is that?
I don't think I'm going to get this one. This is a dog urinates on a young woman. I'm gonna go. I don't think this is correct, but I'm gonna go with Homeward Bound.
You're right. That is not correct.
Wow, real Regis Philbin over here.
You're right.
And you're going to be happy that you just lost $1 million.
All right, it's back around to Andy and the easiest clue. Are you ready, Andy?
Yes.
Okay. This is a weird one. Fred's soul tells Shaggy that someone spiked his root beer and he needs to be talked down.
I'm going to go out on a limb and answer Scooby-Doo.
That is correct.
Okay. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I know it was kind of like, I haven't seen it in a minute, but that Scooby-Doo had some like kind of, you know, humor for the adults, I guess. So, yeah, Fred,
I guess I missed the golden shower scene.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was wondering. Is it Thelma or the other one?
Daphne.
The dog Daphne that the dog pees on? And is the dog Scooby? Scooby peeing on people?
Scooby's not a known peer.
It doesn't seem like
Scooby would. When you're a talking dog, you don't go around peeing on people because then you have to be able to make excuses.
That's a total Scrappy move right there. That's gotta be.
Yeah, that's his nephew.
No, Scrappy do's on people. Scooby pees on people. All right. So congratulations, Andy. You got on the board with that one. And Mark, this is your chance. You get the first and fourth clue on this one. So maybe you can pull off a three-way tie here.
All right. Well, I got a dog staring at me right now.
Okay. So that might be the inspirato that you need. Parental advice number one is this. The song I'm Too Sexy plays throughout part of the movie. The song I'm Too Sexy.
You know, for family comedies in the 90s and 2000s, that really doesn't narrow it down at all.
No, that was used so much.
Yeah.
In a family movie, too, is so just what's so funny about it. It was like I'm Too Sexy. That song, the second it became a hit, they were putting it little, you know, half shirts on toddlers and sending them out on runways, you know, to that song.
It's the ultimate montage song from 90s movies too, right?
Right, right. I'm imagining that this person that wrote this piece of information does not know the word montage because it just says plays through part of the movie.
Through part of the movie. Okay. I don't think any movie is more appropriately suited to have I'm Too Sexy in it than the more modern day remake of the classic The Shaggy Dog.
I appreciate the depth and wealth of dog movie knowledge that you gentlemen have with all these wrong answers. Jeremiah, Chloe says down boy to another dog who she finds handsome. Ooh. Chloe says down boy to another dog who she finds handsome.
I'm gonna go back to the Beethoven guess because it's in that movie making era where it might have been somewhere in the track, but I think I'm wrong.
So you're going OG Beethoven?
Yeah.
Not Beethoven's second?
Or his third or fourth or fifth.
Or Beethoven, what's for lunch?
Beethoven runs for president.
Beethoven goes bananas.
Yeah, Beethoven meets Medea.
Beethoven versus Predator, of course.
Yeah, Beethoven beats Tyler Perry's Madea. All right. Yeah. No, it's no Beethoven.
Okay.
Yeah, you should have rolled over Beethoven because it's something else. And here's the third clue. And this one goes to Andy. Diablo calls Chloe para pequeña, which means little bitch.
Mm.
Man, so animated movie that came out after I'm Too Sexy came out. Oh man, that's supposed to give it away, isn't it?
No, the fourth clue is the giveaway.
I shouldn't be surprised.
We should still be obvious. In tough clues, but you do have three of them to stack up. Do you want to hear them all?
If I could, please. Yes.
Yeah, of course. The song I'm Too Sexy plays triumphantly. Chloe says down boy to another dog who she finds handsome. And Diablo calls Chloe para pequeña, which means little bitch. Which is fun, you know?
Yeah.
Fun thing to say.
Yeah, the only...
For a dog, it's fine.
The only animated talking dog movie that's coming to mind is John Travolta's Bolt.
Oh, that is a big one. That was a very successful dog movie. Mm.
That's a great guess.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. It was a really good guess. Really, but yeah.
No, it was a really good guess. Bolt came to mind as a movie to use in this game today. And I dismissed it because I thought nobody knows Bolt.
It's a good movie.
It is, but you know what I mean? It doesn't feel like it has that, like, you know.
It didn't reach it didn't penetrate the culture to the point that it became
You don't merch. You don't see merch for it anywhere.
Bolt was probably one I'm Too Sexy usage away from being a cultural phenomenon.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Mark, you get your easy clue now.
This puts a lot of pressure on me, actually.
All right. Well, we'll see how you deal with it. One of the chihuahuas in the movie, when talking about finding a mate, says, "I like them as long as they aren't fixed," or something like that.
Jeez. I had no idea IMDb had this. But that's the joy of not having kids. You said chihuahuas, and I feel like they might have some lines. So this is one that actually probably didn't make a quarter of the money that Bolt did, but it still is just in our lexicon. So I'm going to say Beverly Hills Chihuahua.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is the chihuahua. You did it. I just also like, though, that they're like coming to IMDb to warn people that there's a line about, you know, dogs being fixed that a chihuahua says, but they quote the line and then say, or something like that.
That's
like
so
they
great.
Don't even know if they got the line right.
Yeah, they were watching it while they were watching another movie on in the background.
All right, it comes down to this, fellas. Jeremiah gets to go first in this final round, and he'll get the toughest clue first, and it'll come back around to the easiest one if neither Andy or Mark suss this out. But the first of the three of you to name this movie is our winner today. Jeremiah. This movie, somebody wrote about it. There is one mention of the word womb.
Wow, what a clue.
Yeah.
Also, who's got a problem with that for their kids? Like,
yeah.
Well, you know, you just some kids, you know, you're not, you know, when your kids like at a certain age, you're not ready to explain what womb is. You know, you wait till they're like 14, 15.
It's just so euphemistic.
I don't like saying the word womb. It just doesn't seem like it's
weird.
Anything real is happening.
I'm going to go as an older one, but I'm going to go with Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, that's a terrific one for spaghetti lovers of all shapes and sizes.
All breeds.
All man, breeds.
Really good. Really good guess by Jeremiah, though. That one.
That doesn't that sound like something that just in that era of writing, like it's an older cartoon. It's like womb is a word that's more like anatomically correct. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of anatominity, here's your clue, Andy. A baby's penis is briefly seen.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
A baby's penis is briefly seen.
Wow.
A baby human. I'm talking about baby humans. I mean, assuming.
Just think about dog movies where you see a baby's penis. It narrows it down incredibly.
I'm going over
to probably just this one.
Yeah, I'm looking at my wall of baby penis DVDs.
Yeah, I love where to start. Doug really made it now creepy if Andy gets it right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that movie? Oh,
of course. Of course it's.
I can't think of a time when... I think the original Superman, the Superman baby is naked, but that's the only movie I can think of with
it. Oh, yeah, that is a good example. You do see that baby. Don't you even see him like standing there, like holding up a car? And you see his little penis.
I don't know if they do
yeah.
that.
Yeah. And then fog like comes out of the ground, and then you hear.
Okay. Womb and baby penis and dogs. Yeah. Okay. So definitely not. I like the logic of this is an older. What is an old? Benji.
Okay. I mean, no. But Benji's a terrific guest.
I think I might know it now.
Okay, well, it's on Mark. And are you ready for your clue, Mark?
Yes, and I promise I did not Google baby penis movies.
And I'd be curious to know where that gets you other than maybe you know, somebody knocking on your door and asking a few questions.
Yeah, I was gonna say we could try it on your computer.
Here's the clue. John and Jen, J-O-H-N and J-E-N, John and Jen occasionally drink wine.
Oh boy. Well, I had like an old timey guess. But now I hear the names John and Jen occasionally drink wine, and like, you know, in Old Yeller, I think they were just drinking like whiskey. So I am, and it sounds like, you know, okay, well, it's like a family growing up together with this, you know, dog. I don't know why you would mention womb, but I'm gonna go with the all-time tearjerker, Marley and Me.
That is correct. Mark Ellis, how did you do that? That is not the clue that was supposed to give it away.
Hey, I'll tell you exactly how I did it, is that I watched that movie and I suffered through the end of that movie, and just the fact that I had to sit there and watch that movie and just bawl my eyes out, I earned this point somewhat 15 years later. It finally pays off.
It's finally paying off. There's finally a positive result in how sad it makes you thinking about fictional dead dog.
Guts me. It kills me.
Yeah, but you should just remind yourself that the dog that played Marley did not die, but did die later. So you still can... You can still feel bad about it, but you shouldn't have felt bad about it at the time.
You think when they were putting the dog to sleep for real, the dog's thinking, man, Owen Wilson was much better at this.
Why do I have to keep going through this? Which is going to be the real one? The fourth and giveaway clue was Marley is seen repeatedly humping people and furniture.
Oh, Marley.
Freaking Marley.
Mark Jeremiah, Ellis, was that your guess? Was that your guess?
What's that?
My guess was Cujo until I heard the John and Jen line, and then I was like, "It's Marley and Me." So if you missed it, I was going to get it on the next one.
Yeah.
Because you remembered
the clue is Marley.
You remembered that that Jennifer is named Jen in the movie.
Yeah, also just the drinking of wine. Like, I just remember that. You know what I mean? Like, for a mm-hmm. kids' movie, like that kind of stuff does stand out a little bit. And then yeah. But I thought it might have been Cujo. like I thought it was gonna be a curveball because Womb.
Yes.
And then and you know what I mean? Like, it's just something that could have maybe been in a scene that I didn't remember, since we were going along the lines of the Andy saying like Superman was the baby was naked in that. I was like, that's, you know, in the 70s, whatever. Like, they might have put a naked baby in Cujo that I don't remember.
And like, womb is such a biblical term. You can see like some old preacher like yelling at the dog, like, you know, it came from a cursed womb or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably just Owen Wilson telling her where the baby's going to be.
Well, yeah, but
just even mansplaining it to her.
But the names John and Jen threw me off, because I was like, wait, why would Jennifer Aniston be named Jen in that movie? So I was a little hesitant with Marley and me, but we
all out. All right. Well, you won, so you just pipe down.
Excellent work.
Yeah. Don't be a sore winner. And Mark Ellis, can you join us next week at the Dynasty Typewriter?
What time's the show, Doug?
like all most of my live shows, it's at 4:20.
I will be just getting back into town that morning, and so yes, I will be joining you.
Oh, that's awesome. We got David Dastmalchian, we got John Gabris, and you know, probably another surprise booking yet to come.
Ooh.
So get your tickets, everybody. What would you like to plug today, Mark?
Same thing. I mean, I've been telling you all this for what, four shows now, is that I'll be in Las Vegas September 5th through the 11th at Brad Garrett's Comedy Club. And you can enjoy the final epic matches of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. A new one drops every Friday. So check out Friday Night Titans in the final season of the Movie Trivia Schmodown.
Right on. I'll see you next Sunday on the Miracle Mile on Wilshire Boulevard. Jeremiah Watkins, what would you like to promote, sir?
I'll be in Dallas, Texas at Hyenas August 12th through 13th. And then check out Stand Up on the Spot at youtube.com/Jeremiah Watkins and my other podcast, Jeremiah Wonders and Scissor Bros. And I think this is a fun fact for your listeners. Doug, you voice you know, Bane in the Lego movie, right?
Right.
I voice the Joker on Cartoon Network's DC Superhero Girls. So we're a couple of DC Universe voices that are on the same pod.
Nice.
I love it. That's awesome. And I'll see you at the Comedy Store on Tuesday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it, buddy.
Yeah, awesome. And Andy Wood.
Yes, you can find my podcast, Probably Science, at probablyscience.com or wherever you find podcasts. I do that with Matt Kirshen and Jesse Case. Follow me on Twitter at Andy T. Wood and do a deep dive to go peep those young Harvey Keitel pics.
Well played, sir.
Yeah, go take a look at that. And like I said, Dynasty Typewriter, Sunday at 4:20. It's going to be a lot of fun. And DougLovesMovies.com is where you go for other deets and dates and stuff. Thanks once again to all three of my guests, Mark Ellis, Jeremiah Watkins, and Andy Wood. As always, keep going a little further, Owen. Maybe somebody will harpoon you.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.